So here we are, people. We made it to another day. Some of us can't say that. Some of us could only imagine or hope to make it to another day. CJ here, and this is The Sound of Black and Brown. So yesterday, we started off with talking about the Karens, right? Now, this is an important conversation right now, whether you want to have it or not, because the Karens are in season. They have sprung, and they are out with a vengeance. You know, you have to understand, this is part of the world we live in, a world, a country built on greed, literally built on oppression. So when I say that they're doing exactly what their grandpappy taught them to do, Columbus, it's true, right? Any Karen you've ever met didn't just become a Karen out of nowhere. That Karen was groomed into existence. That Karen had privileges, whatever they may be. That Karen felt special, powerful, and had the space to do so. Now, in yesterday's conversation, I started off with saying that we have to pay particular attention to healthcare and academia right now. Because while we have Karens here, Karens there, Karens everywhere, the thing is, you know, they're dominance and their presence are aligning in ways that are quite dangerous, right? Because you have to keep in mind the level of myopia they exist in, meaning their existence is to please nobody but themselves. Their existence is to empower no one, but only to build on their interests, whatever that may be. Right? Whatever purpose. They are self-vested, right? Whatever that looks like. They could have a job and say, you know what? I have to make sure out of everybody's work, my work is flawless, okay? They have no kind of conscience, really. And it only gets worse the more that you allow it to go on. And there are ways to put a Karen in their place, because Karens aren't necessarily, you know, binary. They're not necessarily, you know, a female. They're not necessarily an older white woman. They are white, right? However, they may be white man, you know, they may be a white female. They may be different people. It's the behaviors that make them a Karen. It's the nitpicking. It's the vagueness, but the high expectations. It's the, you are here to serve me, and I tell you how to be. It is, I will be the loudest voice in the room, wrong and strong, but I'm the one, and I'm the one who gets the respect. And everybody else is to cower to me, right? This is just part of the problem with a Karen. Karens are destroying your workforce. Karens are making it harder for people to go to work and function, right? And in particular, for those who work in healthcare and academia, it's becoming increasingly harder. Why? Are there Karens in retail? Yeah. Are there Karens in other roles? Like, would you find one at the mall, the gas station, you know, the corner store? Probably. But in these particular areas, they have become particularly egregious. Why? Because right now, these two particular areas are one where they seem comfortable being extra Karen. Because you see, in academia and in healthcare right now, funding is a big deal. There's a lot of conversation about student loans. You know, there's a lot of conversation about, you know, changing this, changing that, insurance this, insurance that, who gets paid what, when gets paid, all of that. And when you think about it, you put the money where the BS is, you have a Karen. Because you see, you have to keep in mind, Karens always come with the stance that I am here to save everybody. I am here speaking up for the voices that are unheard. I mean, I don't even know if the Karen heard the damn voice, but that's how they approach life, right? So it's important if you are amongst a Karen, especially if this person has a leadership capacity, right? If you're a black or brown leader, you cannot let this take over the place. Karens are the reasons why we have businesses closing down in healthcare and academia. Because again, they do things in a way that are counterproductive. Yelling at somebody, talking down to somebody, using snide remarks, caps in emails, getting a little too loose with your tongue when you're talking about somebody's work. These are not good things. Those are just the whips. So every time you see that happening, I want you to hear this song, whoopsh, because that's what's happening. Trust me. And you shouldn't be happy with that. No Karen, if you're a black or brown leader, should feel comfortable disrespecting your own staff, right? Because you see, once you start to let that happen and you tell yourself, well, you know, I just want to make sure we get this work done. I just want to make sure we see all the clients, man. I just want to make sure you just wanting to make sure is just getting them comfortable. Understand that. Karens, by and large, they're like a little chihuahua, you know. Let me tell you something. Most of these Karens, if not all of them, take the Queen of England, right? The Queen of England is one of the most renowned Karens ever to have lived, right? And you have to put that into context because, for instance, when the Queen of England had an issue about anything, all she had to do was roll her eyes and somebody else would take care of it. Look at how they treated Princess Diana. This is someone who watched her son completely exploit a woman, sleep with somebody else, do what they felt like, and she defended her son. Why? Because her interest was more in her reputation and keeping that up. And it had less, if anything, to do with anybody else. It didn't matter who suffered. As long as she looks good and everything stays in place, that's what matters. So if you're in a situation, especially if you're in a leadership capacity, and you have a Karen in leadership, right? I have to be the one to tell you, don't be surprised that they're acting up. Do not be surprised. They see all what's going on. They see businesses closing. They see that funding is getting smaller and smaller. So they're trying to make sure that you know you need me, because that's what it is. Karens have to feel necessary. When you make them the center of the thing, best believe they're not going to let go from that. When you sit there and you build an agency where you allow one person or a couple of them to have supreme power, they can say what they want, talk what they want, come and go when they want. You know, their role is special. You don't really see them doing much and getting down and dirty. You don't hear about them having to do all these reports and meet all these expectations as you would have to do as a black person in leadership. But note the difference, right? Because you see, that's what happens too. For those of us who are able to move up the ladder, when we get there, we look around and we realize, you mean to tell me I just worked my tail off and did all of that? And you get to what? People, people, y'all have to take into consideration, seriously, the time that we're in. I'm telling you, history, as Fidel Castro said, and he's right, history will avail me. Watch. Watch. When that book and those studies come out that prove the mental impact of COVID and how it affected how people work, how it affected how they live, how it felt having to go to work knowing you don't know if you'll have a house when you get home, because right now, housing security is a big deal. And you'd be not so surprised to realize nobody cares. Not even the agencies and places that claim to care about everybody else. So imagine you work in, you know, in a nonprofit where you day in, day out, you helping people get access to food, health care, housing, jobs, but your income is not even much to live on, right? You're barely making by. And on top of it, you're dealing with a Karen on the job. And for whatever reason, it is in these spaces, these Karens, they get promoted, they get recognition, they get awards. But you're supposed to be serving people, and that's how you're treating your own. And nobody see a problem with this. So let's take a deeper look at this, because some of y'all seem to be shocked as to how Trump's still in power. I just told you how. I just told you how. Seriously. It's not just the churches. What you think? All the Trump supporters live in shacks and sleep with their cousins? No. No. His people sit in high spaces and they're taking up some dangerous space. But he's done it strategically, right? They sit in spaces and they're loyal to the Republican Party. So it doesn't matter if he's cuckoo crazy. He's the head Karen in charge. It doesn't matter. He's speaking their language. He's telling them, right? Hey, this is how it has to be. Okay? And people are buying it. People are buying it. Because privilege is as privilege does. Right? So, of course, he's going to appeal to the people you might not even be thinking about. That little sweet Liberian that's a low-key Republican. That, ED or that nonprofit that you donate to. Hardcore Republican. I'm just calling out. I'm not naming anybody, but I just want you to get the general synopsis of what I'm saying here. These people sit in some very high spaces, but also in some public-facing ones, most of them. And what happens is that without you even considering, right, they are making decisions about you and everybody and everything around you. So let's go back to the example of the black person working at the nonprofit. How would you feel? How would you feel knowing that you don't even know if you'll have a home when you get back home? Because that's another thing we're not talking about at all, right? And why aren't we talking about the housing security? Why are we so scared to or so conscious to avoid that conversation? There's a lot to be said about that. I believe it's because we know that we allowed it to go on for too long. You allowed families to make a lot of money. And not the poor black and brown families. You allow people to get power, place, and privilege, and now they're abusing it once again. Right? Did you know that many people are living lease to lease, sorry, rent to rent, month to month, however you want to verbalize it, that I'm badly stating it at the moment. The point that I'm trying to badly make is we have a lot of people who are going to work every day that are not housing secure and then get browbeaten over nonsense, complete BS, right? So how you expect people to feel? And then you're wondering why the ODs are going up. You're wondering why people are harming themselves. You're wondering why every day we look in the newspaper, another young athlete, professional, somebody we just lost. You don't find that weird? You never thought about the mental health impact of COVID? What do you really think happens when people go from being incarcerated to back into community? There's a reason why there's a transition for that. There's a reason why you need to ensure people could actually transition, and hence the reason why, right? We should be concerned about how these jails look and feel. These jails aren't like resorts, Don't get confused. Why do you think most of our people come back out and they struggle? Because you put them to live like an animal, right? But then you expect human results. It's the same that happens on the workplace. When you have a workplace that's set up for failure, the only way it gets fixed is the day you decide you're not going to keep letting it fail. I never said people are perfect, and that's another thing. That's another Karen impact, the need for perfection. That is such a Karen thing. That is such a Karen thing, right? Karens will make you think that they have all the ideas that will prevent your agency from failing. First of all, I don't know where everybody else has been, but the greatest leaders and the people who made the greatest change failed. You cannot have anything work without it failing first. And if you feel like failure is a bad thing, then you're afraid to fail. And guess what happens when you're afraid to fail? Right? Just think about that. If every time something falls apart, if every time you go to do something and it doesn't work exactly like you thought, how do you think you'll feel day in, day out? Right? And so, in summary, that's what's happening right now in the workforce. We have these Karens who are taking up all this space, and they are making it seem, feel, and come across like, well, I just want everything to be perfect for the, for the functionality. They always have a real idiotic reason to get away with their foolishness. But shame on the people who let that pass off as professionalism, because you see it being super counterproductive. Whether you told yourself that at night or not, that is counterproductive. Because when you let a Karen come on your job and bully your workforce, right? And you act like it's all good in the hood, guess what you just told the Karen who's in charge? Guess what you just did? So I want you to think about that the next time you have to deal with a Karen. And you're telling yourself, well, I don't know what to do. Well, let me tell you something. It's better to try and fail than to let a Karen come and take over everything. Because they are out, and they are out with a vengeance. And they don't care. They don't care, right? They don't care about who's losing their jobs. They don't care who gets laid off. We have a lot of jobless and houseless people right now. The numbers are getting worse. So if you are in academia or healthcare especially, and you okay with seeing all these people getting laid off and you don't see a big deal with the Karens, you are part of the problem. Yes. Listen to your workers. Your workers aren't always wrong, man. Stop sitting here and letting these people take over your space, because that's what they're taught to do. That's what they're taught to do. And let me show you something. You know why, part of why they're doing it? Because the same reason why Christopher Columbus did it. What happens when black people understand how to do something? We get good at it, don't we? We were and have a legacy of being great inventors. We're quick learners. We have our faults just like everybody else. But the point I'm trying to make is we're versed. We're teachable, we're amazing, okay? And the thing about it is, the Karens right now, they're scared. They're scared. They're scared because they want to make sure that their income stays secure. They want to make sure that, they have the support. They're draining your workforce. They're causing you to doubt your workforce. They're causing you to, rely on their knowledge and expertise. Is that really helpful? Is that a step in a progressive direction? Because it doesn't sound like it to me. Kind of sounds like revised slavery, if you ask me, but what do I know? I'm just a black, disabled, Muslim immigrant in America. What would I know? How are we going to change and end racism? You can't change it. You can only change how you react to it, really, is what I should say. You can't change it. You can't talk sense into a racist. If you really told yourself this morning, I'll go talk to that racist neighbor I have and talk them into being less of an a-hole, the only person you just fooled in that sentence was yourself. There is no logic in racism. There is no logic when someone is inherently biased, when they sit there and they judge you upon sight. Take it from someone who looks guilty. And the funny thing is, and people crack me up because they think I don't know that they've judged me. They think I don't know that, as we say back home, they size me up. They assume just because I have a more laid-back nature, just because I'm not as passive-aggressive, right? I'm stupid and I'm a doormat. That's not true. What if I just believed that we could be productive without throwing somebody under the bus? What if I just happened to believe that maybe we could lead our staff without intimidating them? What if I just happened to believe that maybe things go wrong on the job and maybe we're all stressed out and mistakes happen, right? What if I happen to believe that the whole reason why we struggle to even move up on the ladder is because the modern whip is the expectations they set for us, which we inherit, and we decide we have to be that way to be successful. Is that what your ancestors really wanted for you? Is that what Harriet was thinking when she was freeing your relatives? Is that what your ancestors died for? That's what I want to know. Did your ancestors survive slavery so that you could sit here and tolerate a Karen? Because I don't think mine did. I would dare say that major sacrifices were made not for me to settle for being liked by a Karen, but for me to take from what they did and liberate us even more. So for those of you who feel, well, you know, I have to play the game, that's another thing that gets me. Anytime I see black or brown people talking like that, you gotta know how to play the game. What game are you playing? A game of slavery? Do you even hear how you sound? So y'all are gonna sit here and entertain people and things like that that make absolutely no sense, you know, to you, to your well-being, but because a Karen said so. And then, you know, when the time is white, you pretend like you care about your people and you expect people to believe that. As I said, history will avail me. Studies from years from now will prove that after COVID, many of us struggled mentally and did not seek or attain the support and help we needed because it was not A, available to us, and B, not linked to us positively. Let's be real here. Did you know your ancestors, and I'm talking to my black and brown people, at one point slavery was seen as a privilege. Like you were supposed to be grateful to be a slave. And that if you attempted to escape, you were mentally unwell. Did you know that? Imagine that. Think about that for a second. What does that even mean? What did I just say? What do you mean escaping slavery was seen as a mental illness? Exactly. So if that was then, what the hell made you think that it ever changed? You tell me. What made it change? You think just because you do certain things that they like, that you know how to play the game? Why are you playing a game in the first place? Is that what Nat Turner wanted you to do? Is that what Frederick Douglass wanted you to do? Is that what our indigenous people who died, who were killed, do you understand? They were killed. They were murdered for being in their skin. So why carry on the legacy of slavery if you don't have to? You don't have to be passive aggressive to be in leadership. Your staff doesn't always have to be right. Mistakes happen. Calm down, everybody. We're all stressed out. So before you sit there and you judge your staff and decide that they're always wrong, consider the fact we're all still trying to readjust to whatever the hell just happened. Okay? Be real here. Let's be real here for like 15 seconds. Because people act as though black and brown people are supposed to just be, especially black women. You know, we're supposed to take it. And why do we always feel the need to blame somebody on the job? Why? Why does it have to be that way? Right? Why do we have to have something happen and we have to say, well, it had to be that they didn't do XYZ? See, if I've had this happen to me so many damn times, I don't even bother anymore. You want to believe I did it? Go right ahead. What do I have to lose anymore? Me trying to defend myself will get me where? Nowhere. So you could browbeat me and have fun trying to make me feel more uncomfortable? Because that's what it feels like. You understand? That's what it feels like. It doesn't feel like you're trying to help me. It doesn't feel like you're supporting me. This is why I say performance evaluations are evil. That's the modern whoosh, whether you believe it or not. The reason why it's going to sound like that is because most of you use it as a way to rub mistakes in people's faces. How would I feel like I'm going to improve or have hopes for staying at your place of business If you sit there and basically lambaste me over the head for a bunch of foolishness that you probably didn't teach me properly in the first place. You ever thought about that? When are we going to start to realize that maybe we should start being kinder to each other? Maybe it's not a good idea to nitpick because you wouldn't like it to happen to you. You would not like to be the person, as I described in the previous episode, that black queer person just trying to do what she was asked to do. They identify as she, they, right? And here's this Karen, doesn't even let you get past the first slide. There's a whole section dedicated to feedback. But because this Karen is the subject matter expert, she needs to let you know. How come we don't treat white women like that in leadership? How come when they do presentations and they have accolades, imagine what would happen if we all treated white women the way we've been treated, meaning the black and brown women, specifically the Karens. How would they feel if they're making a presentation and then we all start talking, giving feedback? It's not a nice feeling. Or making some passive aggressive statements like, well, you people and those people, our tongues start to get loose, right? And we use little terms and references without thinking about it because we don't have to. It's not held against us because we are not guilty until, we are, sorry, I said that wrong. We are guilty until proven innocent and they are not, right? See, I'm getting angry. How do you not get angry? And how could you not see it happening? That's the part that's boggling me. I ask myself that a lot lately. Like, how could people not see what is happening? And how could they not understand why? What the hell did you expect to happen? Think about it. Let's just look at it from this lens now. Forget the academia and education sector for a second. The simple fact that we are in an economic recovery phase, the simple fact that we are in a time where people are deciding between paying their rent and buying eggs and cheese, literally, and milk. And nobody see a problem with that? Nobody see anything wrong with that? The simple fact that most people on average are battling their housing security. So imagine you even get to work yet and you stressed out already because you're dealing with a landlord who not fixed in the front lights or being rude. You have nobody to call and get support from. How would you feel? Would you be happy when you go to work? And I'm not saying that this means that you don't have expectations of your staff, but my God, people, turn on the TV. Are you blind or are you just that damn arrogant and privileged? Because it kind of sound in that way and it feels that way. Most of you who have the privilege, you sit in these spaces, right? Because you have nothing else to going on, so you decide I'm going to save the world. But the problem with that is you don't have the lived experience, knowledge, or the empathy to do or think in a certain way because it didn't happen to you. You're not the one that has to stand up against a slumlord. You've never had to deal with having to prove yourself innocent, even when you did absolutely nothing wrong besides show up to the damn meeting. I told you before. It's happened to me several times. All I have to do is show up to the damn meeting, and the Karen leading it will instantaneously decide that I'm there to do something. I just thought I was supposed to show up like everybody else. I really did. Because that's how they are. They have to be in control, whatever that looks like. Whatever that looks like, right? If it means, gaslighting your staff, they're going to do it. My question to you is, how much of that are you going to let go on before you say, all right, Karen, cut it the fuck out? Cut it out. Because that's what they don't want you to do, You know that, right? You know they don't want you to put them in their place because you see, you've allowed them to do it for so long. Now, there's also the growing problem, especially in nonprofit. And this is why I keep saying, and I'll just keep saying it, protect your black leaders. The Karens are out here. And in nonprofit, they are particularly disgusting. We have this unspoken problem in the nonprofit industry, especially right now. I'm going to talk about Connecticut, and if it applies to you, then people, we need to face the reality of what's happening here, right? Out here in Connecticut, we have more and more, and actually, I'm going to expand that because I do know of instances in other areas outside of Connecticut. So I'll say in New England, we have a growing problem of the Karens in nonprofit. They're taking up space, they sit under alleged expertise, right? They're always a subject matter expert, right? They always end up in some type of position where they have a level of power and place, and they abuse it. And they talk to your people like crap. They talk to their own people sometimes like crap. But their attitude is accepted as a good thing because allegedly they are doing that to ensure things go white. I mean, right. Whoops. I think I said it right the first time. Let's put this in perspective. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. Columbus goes and enslaves your ancestors. The first thing he does is appoints what? Supervisors. And what does he do? Does he give them lucky charms to give everybody? No, whips and chains. So if you're in a nonprofit in New England and you have a Karen, and you could see their behaviors blatantly passive aggressive and racist, however that looks like I described the scenario in the meeting yesterday with the presentation, with the Karen who had to say what she had to say, didn't care, and then became blatantly racist. And all that happens to her is she gets to go to HR and they talk to her about it. Now, why is that particularly upsetting? I just got mad all over again, so now I'm going to start speaking in gibberish because I don't understand how people could be happy with that. How could you be happy knowing that this individual, which is blatantly disrespectful to somebody in leadership who is not white, and you just give them a talking to and send them on their way? Whereas in nonprofit, especially in New England, on average, we have the black and brown workers are the ones who are being given performance improvement plans. Their work is never on par. You always have that one black or brown employee that, man, I don't know, man. We keep trying with them. You're always making it sound like they can't do, but then when you look at the picture closely, was this person properly trained? Did they feel safe and supported? Or did you let the Karen take over and believe everything that they said? I'll go with that one because that's what happens. Because you see, Karens are really good at making you think they're about to add value. They're really, really great at that. They sell you everything you wanted to hear, right? And they're good at holding you accountable so you're not distracted by their foolishness. They're very good at that. They're very good at holding certain, carrots above you, whatever it may look like. Well, blah, 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 blah. They're prepared for you. They always have something that they're doing that trumps, haha. That trumps what you're doing because what they're doing is more important always. Their projects, their work is on top of yours. And I'm just trying to tell you all, we are in a time of history right now. You had to be real with yourself. You can't be serious in thinking that this is impossible. If you are, then you're not paying attention. I don't know what else to tell you because they're doing it, they're destroying your workforce, especially in the nonprofit sector. They're causing your employees to walk out. They're causing your employees not to give the service to clients and whomever they are dealing with in ways that they should because they're not happy. Would you be happy being chastised every day and spoken down to all the time? Whoopsh! Would you be happy? Do you like that sound? Whoopsh! Do you like that? Because if you lead and like that, like Yale, the leader of it in the Northeast, right, where you lead by intimidation, where you make black and brown people feel inferior and they have to work for the top. Oh, they have to work. You publish mostly the works and highlight mostly the works from your white people. There's so many black and brown people who walk through the halls of Yale. You never hear about them. Isn't that interesting? So, what did you do? Just walk through because they're tourists? Like, they didn't add no value? But what's dangerous is some of them move on successfully and some don't. Some might even end up doing self-harm that cannot be reversed. These are facts. I encourage you again, if you disagree or don't believe me, please, please go research Dr. Antoinette Candia Bailey and then ask yourself, what are we really doing here? I invite you, if you have friends who work in nonprofit in the Northeast, particularly black and brown people, ask them, what's it been like lately? Ask them if they feel like their job is secure. Ask them if they feel like their supervisor actually cares about them. You understand? Right? I mean, the answers should not surprise you, in my opinion, because you all allowed it to happen. You give these people power and place, and you watch them do it. And then the first time they do it, you're like, ooh, that's harsh. But see, they come back and they validate it, and then they do it again. And each time they do it, they're getting more obnoxious, tongue getting a little loose. Why you think right now the Commission on Human Rights in Connecticut is so busy? You think those people bored? Because the complaints. And when you see where they're coming from, it should not surprise you. It shouldn't surprise you. Bullying on the job in the Northeast has been a thing for too long. You'll have allowed it for too long. You'll have allowed these Karens to come on these jobs, bully people, make fun of people, right? Abuse their power, place, and privilege, and get paid. And then you respect them after. And then you turn around and you tell your staff things like, you know, I know that person could be a little difficult, but they're just trying to do their job. And then you put the person who was trying to do their job too, who had to deal and be exposed to this, the black and brown people who have to deal and be exposed to this. You turn around and you tell them nonsense like, oh, you know, they're only doing it because they really want to see this work. No, they're not. Stop empowering the damn Karens. Believe in your staff. Did it ever occur to you that maybe if you treated your staff with 1% of respect, 1% of humanity, actually, I'm going to up that number. Let's say 15. Let's get crazy. 15%. Humanity, 15% respect, 15% empathy. I'm splitting it down. We're at 45, halfway there. Half of you, this is how you feel towards your staff. Imagine walking into work like that. Imagine walking into work and not looking for mistakes, but rather, even when you see the mistakes, you don't use it as a reason to make this person feel like complete crap. You don't know what they're walking in from when they come into work. You don't know what their light bill look like. You don't know what their housing situation, their living situation. You don't know if they have family sick. You don't know if they just got divorced, separated, came out of an abusive relationship. You don't know that. And this is why the Karenism in nonprofits is beyond egregious. I don't even have a word for it. I just want to know when you're going to stop dealing with it. And why do you keep empowering it? I am telling you, they do not like to get called out. Don't let them fool you. Do not let them fool you. I don't care what role they have in your agency. They don't like to get called out. They do not like it, right? They will go sit down in a corner and hide. Because you see, when they get called out now, right, they have to do something about it, except in situations and unfortunate circumstances where, as I've heard, they are in places where they are protected Karens. There is such a thing. Karens of a feather flock together, and they will protect each other. Okay? So, what the hell are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit here and let it continue? Are you going to wait till all of the teachers walk out and all of, you know, the home health aides walk out before you turn around and say, you know what, we might want to rethink how we treat our staff. And you have to think about it from the eyes of the working poor. Here you are putting me through all this and have me deal with this monster. And then the best you could do is buy me a pizza and talk about DEI. And then you're wondering why people self-harming. And you're wondering why people using drugs after work. Or why they're staying in that messed up relationship. Or why they just gave up, for that matter. Because you didn't solve or help the problem. But you put them in a situation where they are to help others, and you don't care how they feel. That's ridiculous. So when are we going to stop killing the workforce? When are we going to start saying to our nonprofit workforce, especially our black and brown nonprofit workforce, especially our black female nonprofit workforce, you are safe. You are welcome. You are appreciated, and I mean it. You, your mistakes, your hairdo, all of it, you are safe. I started telling you all in the last episode, being a West Indian in nonprofit is not easy, you know. Mm-mm. The minute we reach our standard change, we are one of the most chastised, stigmatized groups of people, but nobody talks about it. Nobody talks, nobody acknowledges it, because we're not supposed to say anything. We're supposed to be okay with being spoken down to. We're supposed to be okay with getting vague instructions and high expectations. We're supposed to be okay with being treated like Joan of Arc, where they burn you at the stake every 5 minutes when you don't know something, right? Or you didn't say something quick enough. Or you didn't do something quick enough. We're supposed to be okay with being blamed and being held accountable for mistakes we didn't even create. We're supposed to be. Okay? And don't tell me I'm wrong until you walked in my shoes and dealt with what I've dealt with. And I'm just giving a glimpse. You just got a peek. Shout out to my fellow black West Indian queens, sisters. I know. We're holding on by threads here. They don't care about our housing security. They don't care how we feel when they're mocking our accents. Or they tell us, say it again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or when they make references to how we think and how we understand things because of how we speak, right? That's supposed to be what? A learning moment? Y'all proud of that? We go to work and we just want to be treated like human beings like everybody else, and that seems to be too hard for some people. And I'm just saying, reality check. Don't say that you don't like racism when you're empowering it by being quiet when a Karen is destroying your people. You understand? The only person you're fooling when you do that is yourself. You want these nonprofit workspaces to change? You need to address the real problems in the room and not just have an annual training and buying everybody pizza and whatnot and deciding that's it. I keep saying out here in Connecticut, I want to see what will happen the day that the state of Connecticut turns around and says, now when you apply for grants here, we need to see your demo data. I'm looking for ACE, race, gender, and tenure. And length, you know, the position. I want to know how long, who's in what role, how long they've been there. I want to see who's going to get the benefit of this grant money. Because that's another thing that happens out here. We have a lot of nonprofits where we have on the front end, you know, black and brown employees being blatantly exploited. I mean, they're hiring us to do work with little to no support, but have very high, inhumane expectations. Like, are you serious? There's no concept, consideration, thought about what resources, what training, nothing. It's more like, Negro, get on that field and work. You better work. And in nonprofit, as I've been told by someone who works in that type of organizing for nonprofit employees, a bigger thing is now, you know, a lot of these nonprofits, they claim that they can't hire you on full time because of their budget. The budget. But then they have you working part time with full time expectations. And every time you always increase, the expectations increase and the disrespect increase as well. Because how dare you not know Why would I have to speak to you like a human slave? Whoopsh. And there's always a Karen on deck. I'll tell you again, very briefly, Dr. Antoinette Candia Bailey, rest her soul. That woman tried. She is the epitome right now of what I'm talking about. Academia. Beloved, beloved, beloved person on staff. She had people who she worked with who cared about her a lot. She had, students cared about her. I mean, meaning she had a good rapport, right? People spoke well of her. They enjoyed interacting with her. She had a beautiful spirit. She was, the type of person like myself. Why do we have to be angry all the time? And best believe, if I have to turn into being on business mode with you, it's because that's what you seem to like. And I got tired of trying. After a while, you get tired. You understand? You get tired of being treated like crap. And that's what happened to her. They had all these unreasonable, ridiculous expectations set just for her, not for the person before her, right? Suddenly, she had to meet these expectations that were never seen before. She had to take on the weight of, handling mistakes that she did not create and being held responsible for them. Sounds familiar? Police do it too. And what does she do? She very quietly, unknownst to those who loved her, suffered. Because, yeah, she spoke to them about it. Yeah, she did. But like myself, after a while, you get tired. Who wouldn't get tired? Who wouldn't get tired? You tell me. Why is it when black and brown women, especially black women, when we move up in nonprofit, as we're talking about nonprofit, we'll focus on that. Why is it when we move up, it seems like the expectations increase, but our support and empowerment and everything else decreases? You're supposed to know better. You're supposed to do better. You're supposed to take that. Why is that? What's the message y'all really trying to say? We don't belong here? But then you'll let people who not, who don't have the lived experience or nothing lead your organization, make some real backbending decisions, insult your staff, get comfortable being passive aggressive, build a toxic culture, and you don't see nothing wrong with that? You don't see nothing wrong with that. You have lost your ever loving mind. You're crazy. You seriously. You could call me what you want. You don't even have to call me at all. But if you want to sit there and validate that foolishness, you lost your mind. The time has come when we need to demand better. Do what you need to friggin' do. Stand up to that Karen. You work at an agency where you notice it looking like popcorn, right? There's a bunch of white and a colonel here and there. That need to change. That needs to change. Be the change you want to see. Ask the questions in the meetings. Challenge the thought process. Support your staff, man. Support your staff. You don't have to talk down to them. You don't have to carry on that slave culture. You don't have to sit there and demean them and give them a performance evaluation that has to include bad things. Karens do that. Slave owners do that for a reason, to keep the slaves in check. Even if the employee is not the best performer, before you decide to throw them away and treat them like crap, how about you try to figure out how we could, figure this out? Before you decide to judge somebody's performance, have a conversation with yourself and be real. Are you really setting them up for, productivity and to be great, or are you just adding and having more expectations with each addition? For the case of Dr. Candia Bailey, she got promoted. She moved up, right? She moved up, and as she moves up, the critique increases, the support decreases, right? Now, here's another thing that happens, and we don't talk about it. For those who move up and look down, meaning, I'm happy for you, Queen. You moved up the chain, but do you have to talk down to me? Do you have to really talk down to me, sir? Could you actually talk to me like a human and not assume that I'm stupid? Is that really that hard? So you see, there's a whole stigma with the black and brown workforce in nonprofit that really needs attention. And my question to you all is, when are we going to do it? When is enough to not too much? Sorry. When is enough too much? Yeah, I know that sounded weird, huh? Is it enough or is it too much? What am I really asking? Is it enough? Is it okay? Is it okay to have the Karens to keep the whip going? Is that what you're really about? Or is it too much? Maybe we don't have to, live like that. Maybe we could set up workplaces and spaces where we have expectations, guidelines, and be supportive at the same time. Like I said, you don't know what that person just walked in from. And now is the time we need to be kind. I keep bringing up the drive-in. I keep bringing up the grocery stores for a reason. Pay attention, people. Pay attention. Before you hit me with a DX and decide my axis or whatever it is, my diagnoses, go do that and come back and tell me if I'm really talking out of both sides of my mouth or whatever other hole you decided I was talking from, or if you just decided to turn your face on a problem that keeps getting worse and you might be adding to. I'll let you all sit there with that for now. We're going to come back to this because this isn't over. We're going to keep talking about these Karens. And hopefully, you all get the strength, inspiration, and motivation to address the problem. Because you're killing your workforce, whether you know this or not, when you sit there and you let it go by. And especially when it has become or has gotten to a point where the Karen feels invincible. Now they're like a top-level Karen. Hi. Help us, Allah. Let us take a moment of silence now for our friends in Gaza, Sudan, Congo, Haiti. Let us think about them and all who are oppressed, all who woke up this morning not knowing, unsure, not feeling so great. Don't even want to go to work no more because you're just going to add. Let's cover them with our prayer now. Think about them while I speak. Think about them. Think about yourself. Hug yourself. May Allah cover you, protect you, guide you, forgive you of your sins, provide you with hope, fuel you with inspiration, and remind you you are amazing, and you are worthy, and you are important. May Allah cover us all with His mercy and help us find our way. And remind us we are amazing and we are strong, and that we can be kind, and that we can create and maintain productive, positive work and community environments. We don't have to talk to each other like that. And we can be in power together. May Allah guide, protect, and bless you. Bismillah. Amen. My friends, I could never thank you enough for your continued encouragement, support, and all your kindness. If nobody told you yet for today, we think you're pretty amazing. Please, please continue to like, share, and subscribe. Your support means so much to us, and it keeps us going. Thank you for giving us a space to be us. And thank you for tuning in. And if nobody reminded you, you are worthy and you are amazing. And we can't wait till everybody gets to see that. Well, that's all for now. Fist up, smile on. Peace, CJ.